I invite you again to turn to Psalm 119, that portion we read earlier, from verse 73. We live in a day and generation where the word of God is despised and marginalised. It's not taught in our schools. People don't believe it. I have a slight confession to make. I do like watching The Chase on ITV, the quiz. And any time a Bible question comes up, 99% no one knows the answer. Absolutely amazing. A generation where the word of God has just been wiped out of our society, out of our schools, out of our thinking. It gets even worse than that. James Montgomery Boyce quotes a survey given in America amongst Christians. This is where it gets interesting. Pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers. Hardly any in this conference of over several hundred people could quote the Ten Commandments. Had no idea even where to find them. It's the day we live in. The sad, sad days. And that is Satan's plan. He doesn't want the people of God to know the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, we understand Him. God, His Son, the Holy Spirit, the working of the Blessed Trinity. And for our psalmist here in Psalm 119, he had a love for the Word of God. Time and time again he says, "Oh, how I love thy testimonies. They are my delight. They're my delights," he says. As we know, pretty much every verse in Psalm 119 has a reference to the Word of God. And it's through this Word, through these commandments, these judgments, these precepts, these statutes, this Word, this Torah, this law, we have an insight into the attributes of God. So it's only wonder Satan would have us ignorant of these truths. You know that Psalm 119 is a psalm of the law. Coming to mind, Psalm 19 also is a psalm of the law. But it's, Psalm 119 is a psalm which is based on every Hebrew letter. There's 22 Hebrew letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we have 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. It's an alphabetical psalm. Each stanza begins with that particular letter. So the stanza we read this morning is the Yod stanza from 73. And we looked at the Kaf stanza as well, which is the halfway point in Psalm 119. So from 73 to 80 is the Yod stanza. That is the word which Jesus speaks back. Not one jot or tittle will pass away. I've not come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill it. So this is that jot, that tiny, weeny little letter in the Hebrew. It's like a little comma. Almost insignificant. But what the psalmist speaks here of is not insignificant. This is life-changing, life-giving, spirit-breathed word of God. And he declares quite clearly, verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Thy hands, God Almighty, has taken me and fashioned me, he's moulded me, he's formed me. We know there right at the beginning that God took dust of the earth and fashioned Adam in his image. He fashioned Adam in the image of God. And I'm going to say David here, because that's my conviction. David declares, "Thy hands, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord God, thy hands have made me, formed me. As a potter would form a vessel, so you have formed me and shaped me. That's a wonderful statement to make in this day and generation. It's a truth. Chance didn't make us. Evolution didn't make us. God made us in his own image. We live in a day when evolution is rammed down our throats from the media, the TV, the internet, in our books, in the education system. It's a lie. It's from the father of lies. It's from the pit of hell itself. For God has made us. David declares it. The scriptures declare it. Thy hands have made me. Made me as an individual. With my funny ways and my personality traits. As he's made you in your funny ways. Yet, in his mercy, he's gathered us together. You asked me with a youngster, would I be here in Market Street on this particular day? I said, you're out of your mind. I had no desire to meet with the people of God. No desire to meet with these strange people, as I considered them, when I was a younger man. But God's fashioned me. He called me and moulded me to what I am today by his grace. As he has for you as well. So he makes two statements here in this first verse. Thy hands, creation. And he says also, give me understanding. Well, that's the need of the hour, my friends. Understanding. There's an old book some years ago someone gave me. In understanding, it's titled, Be Men. Paul prays, open thou the eyes of my understanding. Because these things which we consider here are not natural. People, yes, they have an intellectual knowledge of these things, but they don't understand the depth of them, the reality of them, the spiritual life these words give. And David in his psalm is continually praying, give me understanding. That's a prayer we should pray. Particularly when we come to Bible study, our own personal devotions. Give me understanding. That I may learn what? Thy commandments. Commandments. These are not options. This is what God commands his people to be in obedience to. Jesus said there, didn't he, in John 14, I think it was, verse 15. If you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. Simple, wasn't it? What's he referring to? He's referring to the Torah, to the law, to the commandments, to the promises of God, to all that he embraces. These are the commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says that twice in John 14. Twice for emphasis. It's important. And I may learn thy commandments. I'm a bit dull, to be honest. I'm slow to learn. I need to read things over and over again. It just begins to sink into my head. But as we come to this word on a regular, often basis, as we meditate upon the word of God daily, all day, it's possible, I believe, we have a greater love for the word of God, which then generates a greater love for our Lord and our Saviour. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I've hoped in thy word. Because I've hoped in thy word. Why would these other believers be glad to see him? Verse 75 explains it. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. You see, the psalmist here is under great affliction. He speaks of those who are proud in verse 85. The proud have dug pits for me, which are not after thy law. The proud, I think I mentioned before, those who do not conform to the divine law. They are men and women who are fat. Verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but they will delight in thy law. A strange expression. Fat as grease. It's speaking now of self-sufficiency. I'm affluent. You meet these people every day on the streets. Probably have them in your own family. I don't need your God. I don't need your Jesus. I don't need your Bible. Why? Because I've got everything. I'm affluent. I've got a nice home. Nice car. Nice family. I've got nice holidays. What do I need your God for? He's irrelevant to me. Their heart is fat as grease. They're self-sufficient. And we live in that day and generation today. His afflictions are grievous. They are grievous. In verse 82, he says, mine eyes fail for thy words, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When wilt thou comfort? When will you come to my aid? I'm on this great affliction. These men have risen up against me. They set snares and pits. When they fall in, they seek to entrap me like a wild beast. They forged lies against me, he says. In the previous stanza, they forged a lie. They're hot. They have a wrath against this man of God. Why are they so anti the psalmist? Because he's pledged to walk in the ways of God. He's promised. He's made a commitment. Look at this in verse 57. Thou art my portion, he says. We know that portion was given to the children of Israel. Each tribe was given a portion of land, apart from the Levites. The Levites' portion was the Lord. And the psalmist here, he makes this strong declaration. Thou art my portion, O God. Thou art my portion, O Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. Strong declaration. And he makes a strong resolution. I have said, verse 57, that I would keep thy words. You make those declarations, friends, you're in the firing line. The world's going to attack you. Because you're out for God. All out for the cause of Christ. And as it were, you've put a target on your back. So these men rise against a psalmist. And they afflict him. And what he's saying there in verse 74, coming back to that verse, is, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why are they glad when they see him? Because of the way he's acting and behaving in his affliction. That's a strong testimony to the world. When they keep haranguing you and lying against you, when they despise you, how do you react to that treatment? Do your heckles rise up? Or are you meek and lowly? Strong challenge, isn't it, for us? And they that fear thee, that's the God-fearers, will be glad when they see me. Look at the way he responds. He's so God-like. Now, that's not from the natural man, is it? That comes because he's fostered this relationship with his God. Because he has been formed by God's hands, made in his image, he's reflecting the image of God to his enemies. And they're glad when they see him. Because they see that God has come in for him. God has been his help. God has been his salvation. God has been his buckler and shield. And if God can do that for him, he can do that for me. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word. Back to the word again. He has hope in the promises of God. He knows his God cannot lie. I find verse 75 quite fascinating. I know. What do you know, David? I know this, he says. Yahweh, that thy judgments are right. There's no falsehood. There's no error. They are right. I know from personal experience, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. And this is the fascinating bit. And that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Do you get that? And that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. God has afflicted me. Are you under affliction? You are, in some form or another. If you're not, I'm sad to say you will be. Because that is God's way of moulding us and forming us into his image, into his likeness. He sends us afflictions. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, what did I do? I walked in the ways of God. No, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept my word. Afflictions bring us back to the true path. Verse 71, he says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. The Shumalites in Song of Solomon says, and she's a believer. I believe she's a believer. And she says, I am black. And it's through afflictions we discover the depths of our own heart. The blackness of our own heart. Our sin, our reaction to circumstances, to these afflictions. And God, in his mercy, and they are mercies, and they are tender mercies, sends us affliction that we may know him. We may experience him in a way which we never experienced before. Have you been there? Have you been there? Through affliction? But God has come in with a word, a good Christian friend to bring you a word of comfort and of help and succor. God is so good, isn't he? The text stanza 65 to 72 speaks of the goodness of God. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's so good, he says in 72, the law of my mouth is better to me and thousands of gold and silver. I know, O Lord, that my judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. His afflictions worked in a positive sense to mature him as a strong believer, as a strong Christian. The world brings affliction upon us to bring us down. But God in his providence uses those afflictions to build us up. He says there in 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindnesses be for my comfort. Thy merciful kindnesses. I mentioned this word before in the Hebrew. Merciful kindnesses is the word chesed. It's a rich word which the English translators just couldn't translate because it had a rich, deep meaning. It speaks of the attributes of God. I am the Lord God when Moses was in the cleft of the rock. Let me see your face. And the Lord says, no, you can't see my face, but you see my hind upper. And the Lord says, I'll pass by. And the Lord declared who he was to Moses. That's God's chesed. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. What's the difference between merciful kindness and tender mercies? Again, in the Hebrew, the word there for tender mercies is raka. That's from the Aramaic, which means womb. This is a sweet thought for you. If you take nothing else home from this service tonight, this morning, take this home. It's from the word womb. Again, we live in a generation which is gone quite crazy, really. It says that men can have babies. Well, can I tell you, men can't have babies? It's only women. That's creation order. And this word, raka, from Aramaic, means this. When a woman is bearing a child, and that child develops in her womb, what happens? I don't know, because I'm not a woman. But they tell me there's an affection, there's a love for that child. If you don't know it, you haven't seen it, but you feel that child. And as it kicks and pokes and prods, as it develops, you have a tender love for that child, don't you? Even before it's born. And what David's saying here with tender mercies is, Lord, as I was in my mother's womb, before I rebelled, before I went my own way, before I sinned, before I transgressed, remember me as a mother does to a child in her womb. Tender mercies. As a mother would love a child, even when that child is born, she still has a tender love for that child. Because there's been a union, there's been a closeness. And even when that child does rebel, there's still a love for that child. Still compassion for that child. That's what David is praying here. Lord, even before I sinned, remember me. My tender mercies. Tender mercies. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. It's through the tender mercies of our God that we live. For thy law is my delight. Is this your delight, friends? Do you delight in the word of God? Do you like to pick it up in the morning, during the daytime, in the evening, at the night, in the night watches? Do you delight to be with the people of God on the Lord's Day? Do you delight to be with the people of God at the prayer meeting, the Bible study? Where is your affection set? Things on this earth? Or the things of God upon his word? For David, this was his delight. He delighted to meditate upon the word of God. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. The word of God, friends, brings life. Life in all its fullness. Life in abundance. And say to a whisper of a lie in your ear, you don't need to be so serious. You don't need to be so dedicated to the word of God. Just go along with the flow. That's the problem with Christianity today. They've all gone along with the flow. Something else has nudged the word of God out. Contemporary worship. The band, the music, the contemporary songs. I went to a conference some years ago. James Greer was speaking, pastor, theologian from America. And this was at the Tabernacle in London, and they singing these tremendous old hymns. And the first thing he said in introduction, we no longer sing these hymns in America. It's all new stuff. Fluffy, wishy-washy, new stuff. That's our problem. This word has been nudged to one side, as that survey, that conference explained to us earlier on. Pastors, ministers, evangelists don't know the Ten Commandments. But the lie of Satan is exactly what it is. Don't get too committed. When we are committed, this becomes true of us, that I may live. Not in this physical sense, but spiritually. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to his promptings. I'm alive to his providential dealings with me. I'm alive to his judgments, to his precepts, and to his commandments. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. The proud, the stiff-necked, the fat, those who forge lies, those who dig pits to entrap me, they want to consume me. Verse 85, the proud dig pits for me, which are not after my law. They are hunters, they are hunting the Christian down. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, they had almost buried me alive, he says. But even then, I forsook not thy precepts. And those proud who rise against him, who dealt perversely with him, they've lied, they've cheated against him, without a cause. What's his response? Does he rise up to defend himself? Does he defend his person, his work and his way? No. But he said, I will meditate. I'm going to meditate in the precepts of God. I'm going to ponder. I'm going to ruminate. I'm going to digest this word. Because it was his delight. He says his word is such a delight to him, it's sweeter than honey. Is the word of God sweet to you? Sweetness. What happened with Jonathan? Saul said, you're not to eat anything until the setting of the sun. And Jonathan sees that honey, then he puts the end of his spear into it, and he takes it, and he's revived, isn't he? His eyes began to shine because of the sustenance. That's what God's word does to us spiritually. It makes us shine. Do you find that to be true? He says there, 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. It seems in a sense there have been those who have been affected by the lies and the attacks upon David's character, that some of the believers have turned from him. Let those that fear thee turn to me again. Walk with me. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. I know Christians like this who have been so attacked, pastors particularly, been so attacked by Christians that others have turned away from them. They want to distance themselves from them. There may be some truth in this. Well, there's no smoke without fire. And they distance themselves from the servants of God. And David wants those that fear thee turn unto me again. They want then to see that his cause is just and right. They want them to see his reaction as being godly. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known my testimonies. We need to be wise. That's why he prays there. Verse 73. Give me understanding of the day and age I live in. Of the work of the enemy, subtle, he comes as an angel of light. sowing discord and lies. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in my statutes, that I be not ashamed. Sound-hearted Christian. Immovable, steadfast. Supporting the truth. How can I support the truth? Speaking well of the Saviour. Again, coming to a service like this. Coming to prayer and Bible study. That's where we receive that soundness of heart and mind. Meditating, pondering on the scriptures. We have a sound mind. We're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So a psalmist is under great affliction. And those afflictions continue through the rest of his psalm. He says in 83, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget my statutes." He's telling the Lord, "This is how I feel." And God responds to that. Do you tell God how you feel? Do you tell God about how you feel about this place? How you love it? How you wish more people would attend? He knows already, but do you tell him? The psalmist tells God how he feels. How things are affecting him. Look at 81, he says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." This is how I feel. I become like a bottle in the smoke. This is how I feel. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. This is how I feel. And 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth. This is how I feel. And he closes verse 88. "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth." Quicken me. Revive me to the truth and to the cause of truth. Alex Mottier, commenting on these verses in his commentary on the Book of Psalms, he says, "We are made in God's image." That's what the Bible tells us. And our true life is to express that image. Anything else is falling short of the ideal. God's law is what it is because He is what He is. That's the teaching of Leviticus, particularly chapter 19. But each command is enforced in Leviticus 19 there. Each command is enforced by the statement, "I am Yahweh, Jehovah." In other words, I am what I am. The law of God is another way of expressing the image of God. We, by creation, express His image in personal terms. The law expresses His image in terms of commandments. The law says, "Do this, and you will be like Him." Obedience to the law is our way of living in accordance to our nature. And when we live in accordance to our nature as the image of God, it will bring us into liberty. And in to a wide place. It'll bring us into freedom. It'll bring us into a place which the world does not understand. Verse 96, "I have seen an end of all perfection, but my commandment is exceedingly broad." Again, the Savior will say to us, don't get too excited. Don't be so committed. But when we are excited and committed, it brings us into a wide place, a wide room, like a wide field full of flowers on a spring day. It brings us life and liberty. It brings us nearer to the image of our God.